This episode, Realtors Have a New Pay Structure. Well, recently the National Association of Realtors has restructured its commission structure, as they say, and we wanted to go over some of the finer points and how it might apply to being a handyman in or a homeowner.
Welcome to the Handyman Pros Radio Show, home improvement and maintenance tips from the pros.
Thanks for listening to another edition of the Handyman Pros Radio Show, where our goal is to help save you time, money, and aggravation on your home maintenance and repair. This edition is entitled, Realtors Have a New Pay Structure. And to help me explain, here's my ever-cheerful co-host, an old buddy and old real estate buying magnet, real estate master, Mr. Johnny. Johnny, what has been going on?
Yeah, realtors, huh? Papa's got a brand new bag.
Papa's got... Nice.
Yeah.
Folks, folks, for this one, if you're not watching our YouTube channel, you're going to see lots of facial expression from Larry. So, you know, maybe just look at YouTube.
Yeah. Here we go. We're going to have some fun.
All right, Johnny, before
Get the roller coaster going.
You got a story from this week? Speaking of that, you got to
Nothing really exciting. I got to find something a little bit more exciting. So here's the deal. I'm kind of winding down a little bit. I'm going on spring break or vacation, you know, and
Johnny, doesn't so that mean been a doing week long a, drunk fest? Is that what that means?
The week long, something fest.
Like that.
And so, you know, I just have kind of been winding down, doing my own stuff here at the house. I'm trying to get this year, as I've been maybe mentioning in the show and talking to Larry about,
every
just trying
show.
To get everything in, you know, spring ready and summer ready. And I don't want to be working outside on my deck when it's 1,000 degrees out.
Right.
So I've been working on that, and I've just been doing the lawn as well. So
six to eight deck boards a day, Johnny. That's what I'm hearing every day. 6 to 8 deck boards.
Well, my garbage can is absolutely filled with wood now. This week. So I've done my quota for this week on the deck.
How do you gauge your deckers? Right. Well, the trash can's full. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want it laying around. I can't get rid of it.
Right.
I don't want, you know, obviously don't want to burn it. So I cut it in little pieces and
stick
put it in the trash can. And, you know, pretty soon it doesn't take much to fill up, you know, so 6 or 7 boards so anyways.
All right. Before we get to our main topic, if you would, please, would you like and subscribe to our shows? We are trying to spread the word. We want to get, we're trying to do blatant promotion, let's be honest. But go to YouTube, Handyman Pros Radio Show, and or to any of your podcast players. Hit like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. Helps get the word out there. Helps us do our promotion. You know, and hopefully you like the shows enough.
Shamelessly.
That's right. Shamelessly. All right, Johnny. So let's talk about the realtor. Let's talk about how this applies to handymen, but also about some of the things about buying real estate, because part of home maintenance and repair is spending less money in so many ways, you know, save time, money, and or aggravation. And we do want to talk about a little bit about this, because it's kind of made the news recently. And there's just some finer points that we thought we would talk about in regards to handyman, the handyman business, and also about getting your home ready to sell and some things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, some of our audience are first time home buyers.
Yes.
Or they're looking to get out and try to buy homes for the first time. So this is really going to affect them.
Right. It certainly is. So I guess the first question I have is, do realtors really have a new pay structure? Should we say what the pay structure was, I guess?
I think it's what they're calling decoupling, you know, where the seller and the buyer are now separated.
Yes.
That's the way I'm looking at it. I'm not a realtor. I don't know the inside. Some of them might say that a lot hasn't changed.
Right.
But I think the seller, in these transactions, to me, I've always felt like I'm on the bad side of it, from a money perspective.
Right.
Just my point. I've been a sales guy, and Larry, you and I went through an example earlier. I don't need to go through it again.
Nope.
But I've never been in a situation where they typically enjoyed that situation.
Right. So to help explain, I'm just going to back this up. So generally, the National Association of Realtors was offering up you paid a 6% commission on your home sale, and that was paid by the seller, meaning that when you're selling your house, if you're selling it for $100,000, they're going to charge 6% or $6,000, and that then gets split between the two agents. If you have the seller's agent, which would be your agent, the person you contacted to help sell your home, and if there is another agent called a buyer's agent, meaning somebody representing the buyer, they split that 6%, 3%, and 3%. This is the way it was. This is what really has changed. Today, first off, let's just back it up. And when I ask the question, do they have a new pay structure, folks, in most places in this country, that it always has been negotiable, always, always, always. And so it was up to you as a seller or a buyer, both actually, really.
Yeah. But the negotiation was always kind of it doesn't matter. That was just looking at the number, lowering the number, but it still flowed to the buyers.
Correct.
Realtor. The deal here was that they got sued. They lost a suit, right? Mm-hmm. And the National Association of Realtors are going to pay $418 million in damages. And will amend several, this is coming from the New York Times, will amend several rules that housing experts say will drive down housing costs. So long story short, they got sued. It went to court. And then they had to do this decoupling, said, look, yeah, this isn't going to work now. I think when homes were less expensive than they were, sure, you can make the argument that, you know, money was still the same amount kind of, you know, over the over time with inflation. But now we're talking about a lot of change. Going back and forth on a $1 million house. So 6%, you call it what you want, 6%, 5%. It's still going to be split and flowed through. I think at this point
was going to be split. And that's what's going to
be split. Now it's going to be more of a single negotiation with a seller to the person that they've hired to help sell the house.
Right. And one of the things that folks, if you don't know this, I own real estate or a lot of real estate. I own rental properties and things like that. And one of the things that's always bothered me is that there are these things called listing agents and seller or buyer's agents, right? And listing agents are just people that go out and get listings. And it's always bothered me that they get 3% just for signing one deal, one contract. It's just they sign a contract. They may never sell your home. And that always has sort of bothered me because as an old sales guy, when I personally am selling something, right? And John, you'll agree with me on this. If I'm going to represent something, I know all the benefits and advantages of that property. I don't just sign the agreement and then move on. And that's what listing agents do. And there's a lot of them, folks. That's the whole problem. If you don't do this all the time, you don't understand. There's listing agents and then there's actual seller's agents. And then there's buyer's agents. And buyer's agents are the people that they represent you as a buyer. And they come in and they say, they do the searches for you largely. They do the searches and they also tell you what's good and bad. And they're an advisor. We'll call it that. They're a buying advisor. And very valuable, by the way, to have another set of eyes for somebody that does it all the time. It's like having a good home inspector or having a good handyman for that matter. Very helpful to have those advisors. But this flow through concept has always been kind of one of my things. It's like, I don't need a listing agent. I need somebody that's actually going to sell my home.
Well, and I don't think anybody's going to dispute that the buyer's agent deserves some money for the work they do. I think what it is is that the seller's on the hook to front that money to the buyer's agent, which was always my contention. And everybody that I know has sold a home will tell you flat out. And whether the realtors will say it, you know, what they can argue this, but the seller's going to say, hey, I got screwed when they look at how much money went to the buyer's agent out of their pocket. Okay. Right. That's where the contention is where that money came from.
Right.
It didn't come from the buyer, to that agent. And that was the whole thing. So anyways, I think this is this was going to be inevitable. Okay. Because listen, not only did they get sued to do the, you know, that they lost that lawsuit, but the people are doing a lot of things on the internet now that didn't happen before.
Correct.
And, you know, now we're in this, world of that the agents, do you need an agent? Do you, you know, you got to get an attorney anyways to do all the paperwork. So,
right.
But do you, you know, that, so now that's kind of the stage that I feel like they're in right now. But I think that they need, if I'm them and I'm feeling that way, I think I need to change my focus of how to do business.
Right.
I think that shifts the model. I think that shifts the model a little bit for me as a, if I was a realtor.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, it's going to shift the whole,
it's going to shift a lot, but that piece from a personal perspective, that's the first one that hits my mind is that, hey, you know, anyways. So I think part of this, folks, is that, you know, what's it mean from that perspective of first time buyer? I think, you know, now you have a little, or a seller is a little bit more negotiating posture. You've always had some negotiation, but it went so far.
Right.
I mean, I've did the same thing. I know this thing. I've done it. But but I think now you have a little bit more elasticity in the deal as the other side of this is the seller or the buyer.
Right.
That's the way I feel about this.
It's more flexible. It's also going to allow you to choose even more so. You need to choose who you're having represent you.
Exactly.
And it's a process, folks. It's a process. Ask somebody that's done a lot of real estate. If you'd like to contact me, go right ahead. Send us an email, questions@HandymanPros.com, and I'll give you some of my takes on it. But there's a lot of things that a good professional agent really, really does for you that's worth it, both on the buying and the selling. And so understand that. And if you're doing a long range move, I really think you really need a good agent because they know a lot more about local areas than they're not. Anyway, so what it's going
to do. No, I wouldn't take it. I'm not taking anything away from their knowledge base and what they're doing.
Understand.
I think it's, you know, I think it just came time that, you know, that the model changes here and people feel a little bit, you know, a little bit more freedom on negotiation. And yes, I hear it. I'm not going to say it again, but yeah, you could negotiate before, but it only went so far.
Right.
But anyways.
All right. Let's talk about how this affects us as handymen.
Well, I think at this point, if you're, you know, there's going to be a little bit more money in the sellers. If you're in a seller standpoint, I think you now have a little bit more money that you can afford to. The first thing that popped in my mind is perhaps there's a little bit more flexibility in terms of getting your house fixed up before you sell it.
Yeah, I agree.
There might be now, that money might have been going up to the buyer's side of things. You know, now that money, I can take a piece of that money and now I can, you know, discuss this with my seller, the agent that I have to sell the house. And they're going to need, they might have some suggestions for me to sell my house quicker.
Sure.
That I can actually pay, you know. So I'm going to free up some cash. That's what I looked at. That's what I initially thought of when I saw this deal for handyman.
Well, what I thought about it was, number one is it emphasizes on the networking side that you get with the really good agents, because what I think you're going to see is this, in the articles I've read, they actually call them hobbyist agents, right? So there's always the people that really, they're agents, but they're not really agents, you know,
yes.
Like they sell one or two homes a year. That's not a full-time person.
Yeah.
Going to be really important for you as a handyman if you're doing this kind of work, you know, to get in with really high quality agents that are true professionals. And the true professionals will send you, I mean, tons of work.
Yeah,
they really will. And they're going to need it even more because they're going to have to differentiate themselves from everybody else. So I think this really helps us in the handyman side. Yeah. But the key is get in with the good, you know, with the good professional agents. Don't get in with, quote, the hobbyists, as you want to call, as I like to call them, or whatever you want to call them. call it, the part-timers. And but yeah, I think there's tremendous opportunity there. I think you're right, John. I think you're going to have a little more money that can go into doing the repairs beforehand or the repairs afterwards too, because it's going to end up saving the seller some or the buyer some money as well. I think you're going to see this as actually a very beneficial move. I understand the reasons why it was set up that way. I think a lot of this has to do with the flow of information and things that today it's not as important as it used to be because of the way we transact business and the ability to get information. It used to be you needed a good agent, both a buyer and a seller, because you just didn't have the resources of the ability to easily get information on neighborhoods and all this kind of stuff that you do today via a couple keystrokes on the internet. So be that as it may, this is why I just think it's going to help us as handymen, because we're going to be you get in with those good agents, you're going to get some more potential workflow, and hopefully it's very profitable workflow because it's the pricing triad. We've done a show on that. Johnny, we forgot to do the pricing triad. Anyway, it's on the pricing triad, so all good with that. I think those are the big takeaways as far as I'm
concerned.
So
do I. And I think the more as time moves on, this thing's going to start to unfold itself a little bit.
Yep.
And I think there's going to be some shifts on it'll be interesting to see how some of these Zillows and things are starting to interact, you know, whether there's a, you know, I don't know what kind of a change that could be there. I don't know. But you know, there might be some type of more information sharing. Listen, everybody's at this point in time with the inflation rate being what it is. Okay. Let's just be brutally honest. The way this place is going right now, people cannot afford new homes. A lot of people can't afford to move out of their current home to buy another home that they might want to live in because of just the inflation rate and the mortgage interest rates and things like that. So my point here is everybody's trying to squeeze out every dime they can in these transactions.
Sure.
And I think this is going to help the younger crowd to buy a house. Now,
I don't disagree with that. I also think the older crowd, if you're looking at downsize, I think it helps you as well. So,
and that's exactly right, because the inventory is not moving. Nobody wants to move. So there's
it's gotten expensive.
It's right. It's gotten expensive. There's no free inventory really, freed up inventory other than maybe some new homes that are being built. So everything is kind of just stagnant right now in this market. That's the way I'm looking at it. And I feel sorry for the younger kids because it's tough to get ahead right now. It's so expensive. I remember the days, Larry, when back in the early 80s, when what was a mortgage?
20%, 18 to 20% mortgage rates, interest rates.
And you know what that does to a monthly. Doubles. I mean, you just do the math on it, folks. When you go out to an amortization table or whatever, and you put in that interest rate, and you say, well, I can afford X amount per month until that thing hits, like it starts to double. Like before it was, what was the interest? My interest rate on a house, right, was maybe 3%, 4%.
Yeah, 3 to 4.
And now we're talking 6, 7. It depends upon your credit score. It can go a lot higher.
Yep.
So you're talking a major chunk of change that is now going to the bank. So
Think about buying
your
home.
It's the cost of money, man. It's the cost of money.
Yeah, it's the cost of money. But think about buying your home on a credit card. And that's John and I both, we lived
that. There you go. Yeah, exactly.
We lived that, folks. 20, exactly. I mean, 18 and 20, I remember those days. And of course, everybody refinanced out of those loans, or at least I hope they did. But, rough.
You know, there's certain things you go in and you say, hey, people, they'll talk you into getting an adjustable rate mortgage.
No.
And then all of a sudden, guess what happens? What we're just going through in the last 2 or 3 years, and things just jump up, and that's why we had a record foreclosure rate right now, and it's a total mess. Once again, when I was younger and I was living in Florida and the interest rates were in that 15% range, I wanted to buy a house. I couldn't afford the monthly of that.
Yeah,
I could afford the down payment on the house itself, but there's no way I could keep up with it. So
yeah, all right, let's quit postulating.
So anyways,
we're espousing. All right.
Yeah.
Johnny, you know, spaceships don't worry about that stuff.
Nah, that's what they tell me.
There's just so many things going through my mind that are so inappropriate.
One of them can land and help us, you know. Please.
Yeah, maybe they can land and help us, right? But anyway, our thing is it landed? Do we look at it or do we take it apart? That's my question.
All right, Larry.
It's the question of the day. All right, folks, if you like and subscribe to this podcast and or our YouTube channel, please hit that like and subscribe. Subscribe would be great. Please help us spread the word. We're trying to help you all save time, money, and aggravation. Questions, comments, questions at Handyman Pros Radio Show or handymanprosradioshow@gmail.com. Either way, you can get to us. And Facebook, we're at Handyman Pros, and we're out there on other sources as well. Johnny, take us home, baby.
All right, folks. Sorry for all the postulation, as Larry put it, but I love it. That's my rant.
Wait
okay,
till
folks.
We get on politics someday.
That's
folks.
Right.
You don't want to know. I'm telling you.
No, Woo! You don't want to know.
Hey, I do have a question for all you out there. If you're still listening, if you would like to hear us on some political stuff, send us emails. We're not going to do it unless we get a lot of emails because we have a lot to say.
Yeah, we'll get cranked up on a big pot of extra strong coffee and somebody can put a battery in our back and let's go. So, all right, folks. Listen, thanks for sharing your time with us at the Handyman Pros Radio Show, and we'll see you next week on the Handyman Pros Radio Show.